Good morning. Thank you for being here. I'd like to welcome our visitor here this morning and ask if you would please take a little white card out of the pew in front of you and give us a name and an address so we might have a record of your attendance. I have a question, and you know me, I love asking questions. Do you believe in free will? Freedom. We value freedom to the point that many are willing to lay down their lives to secure it and to maintain it. Yet countless people believe that there is no religious freedom. Many believe that when it comes to serving Jesus or rebelling against Jesus, when it comes to choosing between heaven and hell, we have no freedom to choose. So this morning, I would like for us to examine perhaps something a little bit closer to see what the Bible actually teaches and says about free will. Does man have free will? Well, here's a particular view that I want to share with you. And it goes like this. God has predestined and foreordained some men and angels to everlasting life out of his free grace and love, without any foresight of faith or works in man or perseverance in either. And others are foreordained to everlasting death, and the number of either is so certain and definite that it cannot be increased or diminished. This is from the Westminster Confession of Faith, Calvinism, that God has predestined, preordained certain men to be saved, certain men to be lost, and there's absolutely nothing that either one can do to change in which they stand. This view says basically that the most vile person, the most evilest person, by God's grace, is saved, and there's nothing that that person can do to be lost. And on the other hand, the one that is perhaps one of the best, the one that is the most humble and meekest and serving, is lost, and there's nothing that they can do to be saved. Now, the Bible does teach, and because the Bible teaches, I believe in predestination. Now, listen to what I'm going to say. We can read in Ephesians chapter 1, verses 4 and 5, according as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestined us unto adoption of sons by Jesus Christ to himself according to the good pleasure of his will. Paul writes here in Ephesians that we have been predestined. So does that mean that no matter what we do, we can never be lost, or that we can never be saved. Now, however, I do not believe that the biblical model of predestination is the same as the Calvinistic model that I read just a moment ago. Because under the Calvinistic view, that person's saved and that person's lost, and there's nothing that either one can do to change that fact. God predestined, okay? God predestined that all in Christ would be saved. But we, as individuals, we can exercise our free will as to whether we wish to be placed, to place ourselves in Christ or not. And this is what I like to think of. God predestined the plan, not the man. God foreordained, God predetermined that those in Christ would be saved. It's that simple. It's not rocket science. If we're in Christ and faithful, we have salvation. But it's our free will. We can choose to be in Christ, or we can choose not to be. We can choose to be faithful to God's word, or we can choose not to be. If there was no free will, as the Calvinistic view states, then why do we have these passages in our Bibles? First off, Mark chapter 16, verses 15 and 16. And he said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Now, why would Jesus send the apostles, us, into the world to preach the gospel to every creature? And that's not talking about the dogs and the cats and the bears and so on and so forth. It's talking about nations, people. If people did not have a choice, then why go out and preach the gospel? And he goes on, he that believes and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. He that believes and is baptized into Christ, the predetermined way, can be saved. But those who do not believe, they're going to be lost. They made a free will choice of whether or not they wanted salvation. Then we read in Matthew 28, verse 19, basically the same thing. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I'm with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. Why are those two passages in the Bible if man does not have free will? If we cannot determine within our own hearts to be saved or not saved, then what's the use of these passages? Then notice Joshua 24 and verse 15. And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day. See there, the word there, choose? That means the person had free will. They could choose whether they're going to serve the Lord or the gods which their father served and were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But it's for me and my house. What does Joshua say he's going to do? As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. He made a choice. He had free will. And so did those that he was speaking of when he says, if it seems evil to you, if you think it's not a good idea not to serve the Lord, then you go on and do what you got to do. Free will. Choice. But Joshua says that him and his house was going to serve the Lord. Then we read in Matthew 11, 28 through 30. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. If we had no free will, if we had no choice, if we had been predestined to either be saved or lost, then why did Jesus say, come? Come unto me, all ye. That he's not speaking of those that are saved. He's speaking to all saved and unsaved. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Brothers and sisters, we have a choice. We have free will to choose one or the other. Then Revelation chapter 22 and verse 17 that Brother Mike read a little bit ago. And the Spirit and the bride say, come. And let him that heareth say, come. And let him that is athirst come. And whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. If God had determined that certain men were going to be lost no matter what they did, why would he tell them to come and partake of the water of life freely? It's because we have free will. We can choose to, or we can choose not to. It's up to us. Each one of us has to make the decision because of the free will that God has instilled in every living, in the past or the future, human being. We do have free will, and we must choose. Paul writes in Romans 6:16, know ye not that to whom you yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants you are to whom ye obey, whether of sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness? Paul is even saying, hey, you got free will. You can make the choice. Know you not that to whom you yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants ye are to whom you obey, whether of sin unto death? If we're serving sin, then we're looking at death, eternal death, or of obedience unto righteousness. Choose your master. That's what Paul's saying here. Choose who you're going to serve. And if we can choose, that means we have free will. You know, there's many people in the world that does not have free will. But here we do, most definitely. Then we read in Romans 6, 20 through 23. For when ye were yet the servants of sin, now, here again, look at the free will that Paul's speaking of. For when you were the servants of sin, you were free from righteousness. They had made a choice. They were serving sin, and because they were serving sin, they were free from righteousness. They made a free choice, a free will choice. What fruit had ye then in those things whereof you are now ashamed? But he's talking to the Roman Christians. You used to be like that, but because you chose to obey, now you're ashamed of those things. For the end of those things is death. But now being made free from sin, see, there's the choice. There's the freedom of will. But now being made free from sin and become servants to God, you have your fruits unto holiness and the end everlasting life. Before, they chose sin and death. Now, they've chosen holiness unto everlasting life. They made a choice. They had free will. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. We have a choice of what road we take, don't we? Jesus pretty much tells us so, Matthew 7, 13 and 14. Enter ye in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. Because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way, which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. Jesus here is basically saying, you have a choice. You can either enter into the straight and narrow, or you enter into the broad that leads to destruction. That's the choice we have. And our free will allows us to make that choice. No one can make it for us. We're not going to wake up one day and all of a sudden have that choice made for us. When we go to bed at night, let's pray and let's hope that we've made the right choice. That we are on the straight gate and narrow road. Not the wide gate and the broad way, because that way leads to destruction. We choose our destinies. Right? We choose where we want to be. We can either choose to be on the broad way or the narrow way. Jeremiah, in chapter 8, verse 20 through 22, basically, he says, I'm going to paraphrase, the summer is ended and we're not saved. In other words, time is short. The summer has ended and we're not saved. Then he asked, is there no balm in Gilead? Is there no physician? You know what I take out of these two verses is when Jeremiah says, is there no balm? Literally, is there no medicine? Is there no cure? And then he asked, is there no physician? Is there no healer? Well, brothers and sisters, there is a balm, and it's Jesus Christ. He is the cure, and he is the great physician. He can heal our broken, sinful souls. We have a choice. We can choose to be saved, or we can choose to remain lost. And on the day of judgment, you will have to stand on your decision. Because once you pass from this life, there's no changing the path you're on. So this morning, if you're here and you've never been baptized for the remission of sin, you have free will. You have a choice. You can choose to remain in sin, or you can make the choice to obey the gospel and be baptized and have your sins washed away. And if you're here and you're already a child of God, you too will stand before the judgment seat of Christ with the decision that you make because you have free will. If you wish to have the prayers of the saints, for whatever the reason, would you come as we stand and sing the song of invitation?
Careless soul, why will you leave?